The ongoing trial of James Crumley, a central figure in the tragic events that unfolded at the Oxford High School back in 2021, continued yesterday in Oakland County Circuit Court with some new details emerging, prompting intense scrutiny and public interest. Joining us on the JR Morning Live line, we welcome back Todd Flood, attorney and managing partner at Flood Law. Todd, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Lloyd. How are you?
We're good. And, you know, we had said amongst ourselves that, you know, this trial will be guns, guns, guns. They're going to be really focusing on the gun. And that ATF special agent Brett Brandon, who testified yesterday about the firearms that were owned by James Crumley and really, you know, underscoring the significance of that 9mm. But he said, you know, when they found the gun, they found the package that the gun came in. There was a safety pamphlet in the gun case, which he kind of suggested meant that they were negligent, that, you know, as far as trying to, you know, make sure that he didn't get that gun and do something bad with it.
Well, obviously, there are a couple things that he testified to. One, he said that it doesn't look like the lock was ever used. Could he be certain about it? No, but it didn't look like the lock was ever used. And two, that he obviously, the photograph slash video that was taken where the shooter was having the gun in chest height in the kitchen, cross-examination came in about, you know, you can see this man without any supervision. You can see that he doesn't necessarily have the lock on or off. And the ATF agent said it's a dangerous situation regardless where the father is, regardless of whether or not he's in that room or not in that room. It's a dangerous situation. So I think the gun aspect of it is for the government, for the prosecutor, is that he was derelict. He didn't have it properly stored, didn't have it necessarily the lock ever used, didn't have the paperwork ever read, didn't have it, gone over with this the shooter. And the opposite side of that is the fact that he couldn't be certain that the gun lock wasn't used, but it was more probable than not that it wasn't. That was the testimony that came from him. I would put a check down there for the government or for the prosecution just because it clearly, having a gun yielded in the house, pointing it around, that seems crazy. So that to me didn't bode well, regardless if someone was around supervising it.
The Oxford High School Dean, Nicholas Ajak, testified again and said that, you know, he had the bag right in his hand. And they asked him, why didn't you search the bag? And he said, well, I didn't have suspicion then that I should search the bag. So at least the defense is putting some responsibility on the school officials, or trying to.
I know, Jim. That's where the defense is going. But I think there's a lot of motive for that gentleman, along with Hopkins, not to necessarily be candid. Do you know what they have at Oxford School that a lot of schools around don't have? They have a shooting club. They have a hunting club. They have a gun club, right? So guns are prevalent in Oxford. To me, he has some motive, some bias potentially. How would he not suspect that, you know, one of the students doesn't have a gun when they have so many clubs that deal with guns? I just thought that was a little bit self-serving. But you're right, the defense, that's the plan B, you know, a counselor, a dean, they didn't suspect it, so therefore why would the parent?
Well, it goes beyond that. I mean, she's kind of putting the district on trial. I mean, they brought something out in this case that I was waiting to hear in Jennifer Crumley's case but didn't, which is they knew about the they knew about the gun because just a couple days before he'd been shopping ammo on his phone, and that had raised red flags. When they inquired about it, they said, oh, yeah, he had just gone out shooting with his mom. So they were aware of the gun in the home, but never thought to ask about it or to check the bag. But does that, by spreading responsibility around, does that mitigate James Crumley's responsibility in the minds of jurors?
It can, right? The plan B, it wasn't me, it was him. So why didn't he think about it? You know, so think about it just, you know, from what you illuminate. the fact of the matter is that, hey, the counselor should know, has reason to know, because of the ammunition depiction and drawings and all that, shopping for it on the internet, and yes, he has a gun type deal. So why wouldn't that counselor or that dean not think about it on the day of the shooting, when he, especially when he sees the picture of a 9mm? So I could see the defense. Look at this guy. He knew he had a gun. He knew he had buying and looking for bullets, and he didn't think about looking at the bag. Why would the father, right? That would be the defense. My contrary to that is, if I was on the government side or the prosecution side, I would ask, well, you're being sued, aren't you? You have a reason to deny what's going on here.
Wow.
You know,
yeah.
But that's not that didn't come out. But it definitely goes to motive and bias of why you would testify the way you did.
Did James Crumbly, Todd, ever do any internet searches or anything about firearm safety and minors or anything like that?
You can't. I haven't seen anything come up on his Google search. The absence of evidence, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think proving, you know, a case beyond a reasonable doubt, you can look at all of the evidence, the lack of evidence, to surmise, and the same thing goes for the definition of reasonable doubt. But Lloyd, I haven't seen anything where he's actually being proactive. If there is something, it hasn't come out.
Okay.
Just really quickly, we have about 20 seconds. It looks better for James Crumbly that he said to his son in that meeting, you have someone to talk to.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
More than the mother.
More than the mother. I guess we have to juxtapose it to the mother's response, right? What did the mom say? What did the father say? The father seems to be more compassionate to the mother. The mother, you know, she's texting her boyfriend, the paramour, right?
Right.
So, but he goes home. He's one of the few people, you know, of how many kids are in that school. He's the one that goes to the house and says, you know, I think my basically looking for the weapon. So obviously it was foreseeable at, you know, and the defense is going to try to say you can't Monday morning quarterback. So that's right. What they're doing. You can't Monday morning quarterback and go and look at it.
All right. Todd Flood, attorney and managing partner at Flood Law. Thank you for being here this morning. Coming up at 8:35, Fred Upton.